Meredith Locker here today on another Cal-free episode of Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with Meredith Locker. That's me. And we have a very special guest today. I am not going to tell you who it is just yet because I want to make sure that if you are watching this anywhere else other than calbanyan.com, go there right now. Because right down there, we're going to put links, supporting material, all kinds of information for you to be able to watch this in the best possible way. So definitely go there right now. We are waiting for more questions from you guys. We've run out of questions, I think. I mean, we may have some that we haven't gotten to from the past, but we're ready for more. Next episodes, when Cal's back, we're gonna be, you know, going through questions, and it's really important that we get that information from you. So you can either email that material to me directly, meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. You can post it on the Ask Cal group on our Hypnospace. You can also on calbanyan.com, there's feedback boxes where you can just fill in the information and post the feedback or post the questions right down there, right underneath this particular podcast, or really any. We do look back to get those questions from you. And in fact, thank you so much. We've gotten some great feedback recently. Isaac wrote, great stuff. Thanks, guys, for this and for all the videos. Happy New Year. And Cindy Brooks wrote, thanks, Cal and Meredith, for another helpful learning video. Good grief, Cal. We need you to continue teaching us Five Path. I know Seventh Path is another great love of yours, and rightly so. Your experience and insights are so helpful to us all. I couldn't agree more. Cal has threatened to just really throw himself into Seventh Path in the past, and I agree with you. We need him to just keep doing what he's been doing all along. We do have a certification class coming up March 1st through the 12th, a 10-day NGH hypnotherapy certification course. And there's also a week of power coming up in May 16th through the 22nd. So I hope you all are going to join us for one of those. Elron and I are going to retake one of those courses. We're both trying to work it into our busy schedules. All right, well, our special secret guest today is just such an amazing mentor. She is a Five Pather. She's also a C5, which is a certified professional, let's get this straight, certified professional hypnosis instructor. And so she also teaches Five Path. She teaches, I'm going to probably give this away for most of you out there in Texas. And she started one of only two state certified schools in Texas. She's definitely a Hypno 1%. Center, the top of our profession, very busy lady, just so happened to be co-host of this show in the past, and her name is Celeste Hackett. Welcome, Celeste. Thank you so much for doing this. How are you?
Oh my gosh, Meredith, that was a really good introduction. I just can't believe that you wrote all that, and it's all about me.
It is all about you, Celeste. I'm just so excited you were willing to come back and do this because I know everybody's had to have missed you all this time.
Yeah, well, you know, I was just thinking you do the work, and then after a while you look back and you have done quite a bit of stuff. But all that stuff that you mentioned, I'm like, yeah, I guess I have done all that. And yes, I am back for a couple of episodes just to be with you. And Meredith and I came up with a really good idea for a show today. Meredith, do you want to tell them or do you want me to tell them?
I do. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I think you guys are all going to really enjoy this. Today, we're going to cover fascinating hypnosis cases, and Celeste is going to share some of her really interesting cases with us, and we're going to dig kind of into those, and if we have time, maybe I'll share a case or two as well. And I just really think that you guys are going to get some good interest out of this. We don't get a lot of time to do case histories, really, with this show, and so this is fascinating, isn't it, Celeste?
Yes, it is. And with that wonderful introduction, I hope I can make this sound as good as I hope I can live up to the introduction. So we're doing fascinating hypnosis cases, and the first one is the case. By the way, from the files of Celeste Hackett, this case is the case of the missing orgasm button. What do you think about that, Meredith?
Wow, I have never heard of a case like that ever, and I see clients in Los Angeles.
Right. Well, you wanted fascinating hypnosis cases, didn't you?
I did, and that sounds fascinating. I can't wait to hear. Do tell.
The case of the missing missing orgasmic or missing orgasm button. Okay. This really nice man, middle-aged guy, called Dan. He actually phoned me, and he said, you know, I have this girlfriend. Her name is Gina. We went to a hypnosis show in Miami, and Gina was a really good subject. And the hypnotist gave Gina a spot on her head for orgasms, he said. And he said, you know what? Anytime I rubbed her head, she had an orgasm. I mean, we have really been enjoying sex, and it's been incredible. And since then, you know, our lives have just taken this new turn. And he said, I've gotten into hypnosis, and I've been reading books on my own. And he says, and now I can take away or stop her migraine headaches before she gets them, and I can help her get to sleep. And he was just really, you know, asking me, you know, questions about hypnosis. But he also wanted to know, because he was very upset about that. Well, first he said, there's just one problem. Let me back up a little bit. He said, with all this fun that we've been having and everything, all of a sudden, Gina's button stopped working. And he wanted to know if I could help get her button working again. So that's what I mean by the case of the missing orgasm button. And he really was truly upset about it because they had been having a grand old time with the button. And, you know, when I got the call, I just kind of sat there thinking, first of all, I wondered if it was a joke. but you get a lot of weird calls as hypnotists. And so after I talked to him for a little while, I realized he really wasn't joking. And then I thought, do I really want to get involved in this? But I talked to him for a little while, and I just got very interested in the case, especially in her, because evidently she was just a fantastic hypnotic subject. And so once I decided it was serious, I asked him, does she want the button back? And he put her on the phone, and she said she definitely wanted her spot or her button back. So I invited them to my office. Any questions so far, Meredith?
Wow. I'm really mesmerized by this story. It's so fascinating. And you know what, Celeste? I think you may get a whole bunch more calls after this episode airs for other clients.
You never know, huh?
Please do go on.
Okay. Well, once they got to my office, you know, I have everybody watch a pre-talk, and I got the story. About 3 months prior, they had gone to this stage show in Miami. And by the way, I'm changing names and things a little bit, so you know, just for their privacy. But Gina was this perfect subject. And even after the show was over and she looked at a recording of the show, she couldn't remember anything about what had happened on stage. And since she was a very, very open-minded gal, and she really loved her boyfriend, Dan, and very much was one of these liking to be the center of attention people, and she had a good sense of humor and a great appetite for whoopee, she really didn't mind that spot at all, and she really wanted it back. Well, a little more talking with Gina revealed, and talking to both of them, a couple of other interesting things. She was 14 years younger than Dan. She was a really smart, cute, funny, blonde lady, and she had been gifted a year earlier by Dan with a breast augmentation. So they were, like, really into the physical part of their relationship. And Dan was her boss, and he owned a successful business, and Gina was on his sales staff. Any questions so far?
No, I just want you to keep going on.
Okay, so I've got to kind of scroll down. I'm looking at my notes here. So what happened was after the stage show, they just kept really enjoying the spot and, you know, really added to their sex life. They were having sex several times a day and were just enthralled and exhilarated with the spot. Well, Dan was just, like I said, so amazed at the whole thing. He starts reading. He starts helping her. He starts feeling really proud and good about how he can hypnotize her to do almost anything he needs her to do, you know. And everything's going really great. Until one day, Gina decides that she wants to hypnotize Dan. And Meredith, what do you think happened?
Well, I think that she somehow snapped out of it in learning more and more about hypnosis. What happened?
Well, she found out that she just couldn't hypnotize Dan. She tried to hypnotize him over and over again, and it just didn't work. And just at that time when it didn't work on him, weirdly, all of a sudden, her spot up and died on her head. And they couldn't figure out what happened, and so they called me. So once I got the story and everything, and she was such a great subject, I just decided right away to do regression with her. And so I did, you know, got her in hypnosis, did regression. I'm not going to go a whole lot into step-by-step about how we did that. Cal has done that plenty of times on other podcasts. In fact, especially when it comes to regression, you and Cal did a whole wonderful series on that just recently, the 10 Keys to Successful Regression, and it was presented by Meredith and Cal, of course, and that was episodes 108 to 114, right, Meredith? I believe that's it.
Yeah. So we will post that information just right down there if you're watching it on calbanion.com.
So a lot of the technical details that Cal will often put into case studies, I'm going to leave out because you can go and watch about the regression. I really want to, you can go and watch the details rather, because I really want to just give you the meat and the potatoes and get through, and we have a limited amount of time here. But I'm going to give you enough information so you'll know what's going on. All right, so the spot went away, it up and died. What I like to say. And so we started the regression. So once she was in hypnosis, I mean, she was a blowdown, as we call the ones that are easy to hypnotize. So once she was in hypnosis, I just had her go to the time, go back in time in her mind to the time when she was hypnotizing him. And she says this, "I'm reading a script I wrote special for him. He is laying on the bed, but not relaxed. He opens his eyes." She thinks I'm doing this wrong, and she feels I'm not good enough. So we focus on that feeling. After we find out it's familiar, we follow it back to an earlier time when she felt that way. She's at the office. Remember, she works for him. And she says, "I'm talking to someone on the phone about buying a product." And he says, "I shouldn't have told him the lower price first." She thinks he doubts me, and she feels really ticked off about it. So then we focus on that feeling and we follow it back to an earlier time when she felt that way, and she's 7. And she's running a race, like a foot race, with another little girl named Cindy, her best friend. And she wins the race. And she said, Cindy says to her, "You cheated." And she thinks, "I'm better than her," and she's lying. And she feels mad. So I have her focus on that feeling. I ask her, is it familiar or new, which I did with every, you know, feeling in the other scenes. She says it's familiar. So I say, focus on that feeling, and we'll follow it back to an earlier time when you felt that way. So we focus on it, follow it back to an earlier time, and she's 6, and she's walking to school, and she pets this little cat that's sitting on the sidewalk, and the woman runs out of the house, the woman who owns the cat, and she yells at her to leave her cat alone. And so she thinks, "I'm wrong," and she feels guilty and scared. So then we follow that feeling back to an earlier time when she felt, you know, that way, because again, it's familiar, these feelings. There's, there wasn't any anger in that scene, and that happens sometimes. And so follow whatever's there back to an earlier time when she felt that way. She's 10 months old in her high chair, and her mom is with her other sister, her older sister, in the other room, and she thinks she left me and she isn't coming back, and she feels scared and like her mom doesn't love her. So whenever you do this kind of hypnosis, especially if you're a 5-path hypnotist, you do need to do some things to see if, you know, we're trying to find the beginning of the problem. Because if we can fix the beginning of the problem or neutralize the feelings and get some new insight there, then the feeling that supports the problem the client came in for will crumble and fall, and they'll be better once you suggest suggestions for them to make change. And so, you know, I check it out using specific criteria that we have for doing the work, and it is the beginning of the problem by what it looks like. You never really know unless, you know, if somebody changes, they're better. If not, they're not. But, you know, this is the best we have, a certain criteria we look for. So I go through that criteria. Again, that criteria is on those, I'm sure, Meredith, you guys went over that on your regression podcasts, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I won't make you go ahead and give those to them, to the audience today. But you can just go and check that out. And probably any of the podcasts that talk about regression, it's there. Even Cal and I did some podcasts where we talk about the criteria for knowing if the beginning of the problem that seems to be the beginning of the problem when you're doing hypnosis, if it really is the problem. But anyway, so as I'm going through all these scenes, I'm starting to kind of put things together because I have to figure out how I'm going to help her spot come back. That's what she's here for. And so I've learned quite a bit here, and I come up with a plan to help her get her spot back. And I start kind of talking to her. Now, You know, when I take my hypnosis notes, and I'm sure you do this too, Meredith, I don't write every single thing in there. And I had to look back at this case to try to remember exactly how I did it. You know, you write down some notes, but there were a few things that I needed to do with her. One was, you know, she feels inadequate about hypnotizing. And so she really needed some education about being a hypnotist with him. So first I'm going to try to build her confidence just from a little education that she didn't do anything wrong, that actually Dan didn't follow her instructions. In hypnosis, I know she's going to be more suggestible. So I tell her anyone can be hypnotized if they follow your instructions. That's number one rule for hypnotism. True or false, Meredith?
True.
Sorry to be treating you like a client there. True or false?
True.
Anyway, I said, you know, did you tell him to open his eyes? She said, no, he just opened his eyes. I said, well, then he wasn't following your instructions, right? She said, no. I said, well, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. And if he doesn't follow your instructions, he's not going to go in hypnosis. It's not your fault. I said, when someone tells you to close your eyes and you're being hypnotized, do you open your eyes unless they tell you? She said, absolutely not. So she was starting to kind of get it, you know. And I said, and also I need you to know, another little bit of education for people who do hypnosis, is hypnosis simply doesn't work sometimes as well with family or friends or people that we're close to, because some people are really kind of scared for you to know more than they do, or for you to have more power than they have if they think it's powerful, or they have some idea that that you're in control. They might be afraid you'll learn something about them that they don't want to reveal. He saw how completely you were taken over by this, not really taken over, but how you didn't even remember because you accepted a suggestion not to remember the thing, and he didn't really know what was going on. So, it could be, I said to Gina, that he was just really scared. So you need to know that's kind of normal under the circumstances. I said he also might, I told her, might just have any objection that anybody can have. And so I said, you know, Gina, you really need to, he's been studying hypnosis. You need to study it as much as he has or more and get some information, some new inductions, some new scripts to use on him that will kind of also surprise him. But also, you know, you need to do a pre-talk with him, helping him to understand, you know, some of the things that people are more or less uncomfortable with. For instance, misconceptions about hypnosis. She needs to help him understand what it is and isn't. Because of all his studying, he may still not really get it. And I said also, you know, more or less I made the point that she and he needs to understand that not everyone is as good a subject as she is, or as willing to take suggestions as she is. He might feel uncomfortable with an orgasm button on his head, but he probably wouldn't mind if he's like most men, stronger or longer lasting erections, or an increase in sensitivity in different areas for enjoyment, for instance, or that he might enjoy having a heightened sense of smell, or just a suggestion that she smells so incredibly good or she tastes so incredibly good. And so I said, so, you know, if you want to do this, first of all, realize you didn't do anything wrong. He's going to be the one that puts himself in hypnosis or not. But also you need to study hypnosis if you want to, you know, be as good as he is. And I would just try to get better than him if I really want to do it. But also just keep in mind, he may not want to do it with you. Any comments about that, Meredith?
Yeah, well, that's just one of those things. You know, when we work with, a romantic partner or a friend or a sister or a brother or a parent, you know, I personally find that they're just going to be less likely to have the same experience as they would have with a stranger, with a hypnotherapist who is trained, where they choose to go and they go to their office. And so in some ways, you know, Gina was really kind of set up to not have a great experience, not only because Dan knows that she's not trained, and Dan is kind of one of those people who likes to be in control. And so the poor thing, she wasn't set up for a lot of success.
Well, the other point too, now that you mention it, is he's her boss. Do you think he really wants to feel like, you know, she can tell him what to do? And a lot of people, that's, if they don't know better, they think that's what hypnosis is.
So yes, mind control, right?
I'm sorry?
Mind control.
Yeah, that's right. So we talked about that, and I through telling her, giving her some education, and asking her, you know, did she understand that? Could she see how that's true or that makes sense? And getting a nod of the head from her. Then I moved into another point. I needed to make sure that generally Gina just felt more confident. So that if she does do hypnosis with him again, and he rejects the suggestion, that she really realizes he's got the problem. Just telling her that isn't going to be enough at this point. I have to help her to remove the lack of confidence that showed up in these scenes that we went to. And all along, as we go through, build her confidence. Because the subconscious said, this is part of the problem. And so as I go back through, I'm keeping in mind that I've got to build her confidence, generally speaking, her self-esteem, her self-worth. Also, she needs to remember that, you know, I'm also going to build in suggestions because I want her to remember what the spot did not for him, but for her. But also, if it makes sense, for the relationship. I mean, it's pretty certain, I tell her, don't you agree, that he has never had a girlfriend who can orgasm at the touch of a button like that? And she says, that's absolutely true. And I say, do you want to give up being a woman like no other to him? And she says, no. She doesn't want to give that up. Because she really loves him, and she likes having this special thing, you know? So I say, okay, even if he doesn't have the talent or the courage to follow your instructions in hypnosis, she says she still doesn't want to give up the button. She wants to be able to be all this woman to him, right? And so that's what I really was hoping to hear. And then the other thing I'm thinking is there's a significant amount of anger there. If somebody can do something to you that causes you to have pleasure and you want to reciprocate and they don't let you, a lot of people would feel a little angry about that. Meredith, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, there's something absolutely unfair about the fact that, you know, she gets to be the ragdoll and he gets to be totally in control all the time, and that she doesn't, you know, ever get the upper hand in this relationship.
So, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I'm kind of thinking in this situation that this is an unconscious effort at her making fair. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so she needs to get over any anger at him. Possibly it's a big problem. Maybe not. I mean, there's enough going on here otherwise that I'm thinking she could, you know, I mean, if she really wanted to be all this woman to her, and, you know, all this woman to him, that could be motivation enough for her to let that spot come back. If she realizes that it's not her fault, that it's his fault, he's not following instructions, and she has confidence, that could be enough to let the spot back. But I'm not really sure how much the anger is a problem here. So I do ask her, I say, you know, I say, because you didn't go into hypno, are you thinking when he did this, because is there any part of you, and she's in hypnosis when I'm asking her, is there any part of you, because, how can I say this? When he was in hypnosis, I'm sorry, I'm really screwing up this, flubbing all these lines. What I said to her was, is there any part of you that was a little angry about him not going into hypnosis? Because I told her, you know, I think that might make me a little mad. And so she said, absolutely. I said, so this could be maybe not a conscious thing on your part, but a lot of people might go, gosh, if he's not going to do this, I'm not going to do this anymore. And she smiled. And so that's all I really needed, you know. So what I did was I said, I tell you what, let's just continue with this work. So we went through the different scenes, neutralizing the fear of being abandoned that was obviously there in the one scene with the mom, all the negative emotions like feeling unlovable, not good enough, that kind of stuff. And we used that informed child technique that Cal is famous for. And we suggested, mixed in all the suggestions that are suggestions from all these points that I just went over. And after we worked through the events, she had a significant amount of confidence. And I asked her if she would like her button back. And she said, yes. And I asked her if she needs to get back at him by not allowing it to work. And she says, no. I really don't know if that's the case. You know, you never know until somebody goes out and tests the work that you did in their world and comes back. But she says, no. So I suggest, okay, then because of the work that you did today, You'll find that whenever your boyfriend touches your head, you'll have the most delicious orgasm and it feels great and you love it again and things are great in bed again and you feel tingly and more sensitive all over your body. And, you know, she had specific places, by the way, that she asked me before the session that she wanted to feel tingly. So we went over those. And your orgasms are stronger. They last longer. And, you know, you feel pleased and fulfilled. So then I ask her, I say, okay, when do you think you guys might have sex next? And she said, right after this session. So once we get home. So I said, good. On the count of three, you're at home, you're making out. Tell me how well the button works. One, two, three, be there. And she smiles and she says, it's working. And I say, okay, great. And then so we do the usual things where I emerge or alert her. And she's really excited, really feels positive. And I give her some scripts to use with him that certainly he's never seen before. And I show her an induction that he surely doesn't know that she could use if she wanted to. And I tell her about some books to read. And she leaves really happy and she looks confident. And I actually have her scheduled for another session. It's for forgiveness of others. Because I think, you know, there could be some anger still there that needs to be dealt with. And it never hurts to do that. But actually, he calls me and he says, oh, my God, it's working again. And they're both really happy and they decide they don't need another session. They don't really want another session. But they tell me, keep all the money. It was worth it. So I did one session with her and I got paid for five sessions. And she's to this day still hasn't hypnotized him, but she says it really isn't important anymore. And over the 6 months from the time I saw her, 6 months time, I got about three or four referrals from them. So she got her button back, Meredith.
I love that she got her button back. I think that is so terrific. And this is such a perfect example because I think a lot of hypnotherapists would think that a case like this just required some more direct suggestion. I mean, they might think that, you know, because she was such an amazing candidate before, she got this button just from a stage show, that, you know, the right route to go would be to do some direct suggestion work. But you showed that, you know, you can use regression and, you know, not only give them back their button, if you will, or give them back whatever it is that they're looking for, but resolve some other issues along the way. And that is, you know, the more responsible way, in my view, of handling a case like this. But, you know, I think that a lot of people would have just said, whoa, this is so outside of my comfort zone that I'm not sure I'm capable of or ready to take a case like this. But, you know, you just, even though clearly you had never had a case like this before, you took it on and did the best that you could. And you probably even had kind of a plan B and a plan C, you know, as you went along. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that is true. You know, it's so interesting. If you just really pay attention, the client will, you know, give you right in the palm of their hands the answers to the question, what you need to do and how you need to do it, along with Five-Path Protocol, because Five-Path takes care of just about everything. It's really a universal, I guess you could say, approach to doing really deep and thorough work when you use hypnosis. It's very methodical. It works on uncovering the cause of the problem. It works on showing you how to weave in direct suggestion, neutralize different emotions from fear, guilt, anger at the self, misconceptions, and then turn it all around so that it makes sense so that you can tie it in with what the client wants. And I got to say, you know, all my cases to me are fascinating. You know, I could never do a Rubik's Cube. I used to try to do those things, and I'm terrible at, like, crosswords. But when clients come to my office, I see a puzzle. And I just want to get in there and kind of figure it out. And it's interesting because a lot of times the clients give things away when they're talking to you consciously that's later useful in the session. Every client is a fascinating puzzle. And, you know, I just love doing this work.
So do I. And thank you so much, Celeste, for sharing this fascinating case. We are going to together film one more podcast, and Celeste is going to share more. I don't know if we'll get to more than one, but she's going to at least share another one. It's time for us to wrap it up. Do you want to go ahead and sign off, Celeste?
Yes, I'm Celeste Hackett here in Dallas, Texas. Please visit my websites, Family First Hypnosis. That's where you can call me and learn about how I do sessions and how to get in touch with me, familyfirsthypnosis.com. And also, I do have a state-licensed school for hypnotism. We do have classes coming up in March and throughout the year. So check that out. It's DallasHypnosis.com. career training. And thank you very much for letting me be here. And Cal, I know you're going to be watching this, so hi.
Yay. Well, thank you so much, Celeste, for coming back and doing this with me today. It's been lots of fun. We do miss Cal, but this is absolutely a fun opportunity to give Celeste a chance to come back and say hi and share one of the most fascinating cases I've ever heard of. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Celeste. This is Meredith Locker signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.